good morning, everyone online, as well as those in person. Exciting to jump back into our series on James, the book of James. We started last week, and I love the book of James because it's going to be an incredibly packed, powerful, informative series, and it's the beginning of us going on a journey, preaching through a book of the Bible verse by verse. And I find that there's so much that we can gain when we do it, and James is a fantastic book, and James writes to a scattered group of Christians who were in many cases persecuted and going through difficult times. And it's a great reminder that as we study the book of James, that really the truth of the matter is there's going to be, each one of us is going to go through seasons of trials. We're either, even today, we're either about to step into one, or man, we are neck deep in one, or we're coming out of one. Bad things, difficult things are going to come to everyone. Jesus even said that in this world, you will have tribulation. So we see through a picture of Jesus, and we discovered this passage last week, that even Jesus, as in his suffering that he went through, Hebrews tells us this, that he endured the cross, but with a joy. Look at it, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. Disregarding its shame, now he is seated in the place of honor besides God's throne. Jesus' death in that day seemed weird. Because how could we have victory when it's in death? Because death wasn't the end of the story. His resurrection and ascension to heaven enabled us, what he endured on the cross brought the joy that he knew was awaiting him. And by what he did was also purchasing that for us. That as he endured the cross, he was setting a pathway that the trial that we're in is not the end of the story. The difficulty that you're experiencing today is not the definition of your life. It is not the definition of your character. It's not the end. It's just part of the story. Because we discover as we go through the trials that we will face, how do we pass the test of trials? It's one of the fun parts about this book of James is going to give us many different means in order for us to endure the tests and to pass it. See, God doesn't bring trials just to frustrate us. Many points, he wants to grow intimate with us. He allows trials so that he knows that unless you go through trials, there's going to be character that's developed in your life that would not be accomplished in any other way. Unless we go through them. We discovered last week the first three keys, and we saw it in the first few verses of James, and I'll quickly recap. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, and lacking in nothing. See, that's the ultimate goal that God has for our life, is that even as we go through trials, he knows that there is a perfection, a perfecting, a completeness that he will develop in our life so that we will lack nothing. That's why we can count it all joy to go through trials, is because even in the midst of the trial, God is at work at what he wants to develop in our life. Here are three keys that we picked up last week, the first of five. So this is the first three of five on handling trials. First, we discovered that attitude of joy. Something changes when we change our perspective of the trial that we're in. To know that this trial is that we have a God that's going to walk with us, that is going to demonstrate his love for us. He's going to speak to us that you're not in this alone, but I have so much good that I want to display in your life, even in the midst of the negative. Just know, I will do all things to the good if you love me. It's one of the great parts. Second, we learned of an informed mind is that we know that the testing of our faith develops perseverance and it makes us steadfast. It helps us to endure as our faith is tested and it's proved and it's tried and we're able to persevere. But when we have an informed mind and understand that God is working for my good in this situation, that he is a God that is good and delights in doing good. And when I remember that, an informed mind, that God's working is far bigger and better than what I could ever think or imagine. When I begin to go back to the, in the midst of the trial, what does Scripture say who God is? What does God say about his intention for my life, that he will be with me, his character? What does it say? When we have an informed mind, it helps us to get through the trial. It will develop and build strength within us. Thirdly, we saw the third key was a submissive heart. And a submissive heart embraces the trial. It trusts God to lead. That submissive heart is steadfast so that the trial can have its full effect. That in that trial, I can stand and be that man or woman of God that honors God in every moment, not just in good times. But even in the bad times, even in the difficult moments, God will be glorified in my life. In fact, Gene, Nancy, I just a conversation with Cliff this last week, earlier this last week. Cliff was recounting different parts of just what God enabled him to do in business. And he would just look at me and just go, oh, Pastor, God's been so good. God has been so good. So good, I could never have done it. And he even talked about that last week. It's just, there's when you have that submissive heart, there's a fine wine, as we discovered last week, that when we surrender, even the trials, the difficulties that came along through life, it builds within a heart that just says, God, you do it. You do the work beyond what I can do in my obedience. I will obey, but God, you just display yourself. And that was the part that I loved about Cliff was he acknowledged the ingenuity, the parts that God enabled him to do, but he realized there was at some part God took over and just did more than what he could ever think was possible. And God wants to do that in each one of our life. So even in the midst of trials is the opportunity where we can turn on a light bulb to know that God is with us and that God is in the midst of actually going to turn this situation into something that could be so good, so productive, that it actually becomes the platform and part of the future that he has for us. So with those three keys, I want us to launch into the next several verses on how we find and handle trials as they come. Let's start off in verse 5. James 5, we'll be looking 5 through 12. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it'll be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and let the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises, and its scorching heat, it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beauty perishes. So also with the rich man, fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. When he has stood the test, he will receive a crown of life for him, a crown of life which God has promised for those who love him. So now that we've seen the first three keys, here's the last two, and let's jump right in. The fourth key on handling trials, passing the test of trials, fourth, is a believing heart. Look at it in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it'll be given. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like the wave that is driven and tossed by the wind. See, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. All we need in this situation, many points when the trial and the pressures start to hit, the different directions, right? There's parts going, now what do I do? When you're smack dab with the headlights of the trial, this is one of those points we all ask our question. And some points we're asking it in a different way. Many times we're actually pointing it back, saying, okay, God, why me? God, why now? Why is this occurring? How long is it going to last? And it's kind of like, honestly, it's kind of like when you're on a vacation with your kids. Anybody been there on the vacation where you're basically 20 miles out from town, you know, from your house? How much longer? Are we there yet? And it's in that same time we find ourselves, even in the midst of our trial as adults, all right? There's parts, guess what we do with the Lord? Okay, God, how long is this trial going to last? Like, this could have got over yesterday. Hello? Am I right? And there's, in this moment, we got to return the question and just say, God, I just need your wisdom. You've brought me here. I'm in here. And I know you're a good God. As I've surrendered, having that submissive heart, stepping into this next part of having a believing heart, going, knowing that God, you will never put me in a situation that you will never leave me defenseless. You're always with me. And so it's reposturing ourselves that when we are in trouble and we don't have all the answers, we can run to a God and ask him to a God who does have all the answers. And in his timing and in his way, he will display his wonderful promises if we will but ask and listen. And this is nothing new. We even learned it in the Lord's Prayer in our series that we went to just before this. As part of the Sermon on the Mount where the Lord's Prayer was, we discovered in Matthew chapter 7 this, in verses 7 and 8, ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it'll be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. And notice it's everyone. It's not a select few. It's not just for certain people that we would say, that's who God favors. God will never favor me. See, that's a type of thinking that comes from when you're in the trial. Some points, maybe there's some shame, there's guilt for why am I in this trial? And it's your posturing from a defense, not how God sees you, but some points of how you see yourself. And you need to have a confidence in faith to ask, to seek, to knock, and know that God will give his wisdom to you. Ask and you will receive. Look at Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So as you're going through the trial, recenter yourself, trust the Lord with all your heart. With all your faith, acknowledge him. God, I will acknowledge you in the midst, in the depth of this trial. I need your wisdom. I need your leading. And guess what he will do? He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. In other words, don't just lean on what you think will do to get you through it. Seek God, ask for his wisdom, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. See, it's beautiful problems. But too many times, why don't we ask? We tend to want to be self-reliant and not trust in him. And God is a God who wants to display his wisdom to us so generously. Look at Psalms 81, verse 10. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. See, the picture that comes to my mind is I can still picture both of our boys when they were real young and you're doing the feeding thing. You know, they're in the high chair. And so the picture that comes to my mind, too, is some points they're not wanting to eat. And so some point, God wants to give you wisdom. He wants to be generous to you. And he's telling us, man, open your wide your mouth. And what do we do? Mm-mm. So the airplane noises with the spoon. You know what I'm talking about? And there's parts, I can feel like God at some points, in the trial, it's like, hello, open wide your mouth. And the great thing is he'll fill it. See, it's a great mental picture because God gives without hesitation, without reservation, without a stinginess, because he loves to give, but even importantly, he loves you. He loves you, and he wants the best for you. How much of a desire does he have for you? Pastor Stacy's favorite verse, Jeremiah 29:11. Look at it. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and for not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In all things, know that God's design, he will take, because here's the amazing part about trials. Trials can sometimes be the result of someone else's actions against you. So it may have nothing to do with actual decisions that you made. It's just, this is what life, other people have brought on you. What will you do in those moments? It's the same posture. It's going to be the same response. Is just know that you have a God that regardless of where you find yourself today, you have a God that has never taken his eye off of you. He is with you. He is for you. And his desire is to bring you a future and a hope. Look at James chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Look, James is saying, if you're going to ask, then you better ask in faith. You've got to ask as a true believer. Your identity, again, is not the trial. Your identity is a son and a daughter of the King. And he wants you to ask. And in the midst of the trial you're facing, he's saying, I will be there for you, but ask. Open your mouth. I'll fill it. I've got plans for you. Hebrews 11, verse 6, it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he wants to reward those who sincerely seek him. See, scripture's clear. You can't please God without faith. Have faith. Ask in the midst of the trial. When it's amazing is God will be there for us. And here's the part today, and whether you're watching online or you're here in person, if you're not a true believer, I hope you're seeing that there's a difference in how we should approach God in prayer in the midst of our trials and really just everyday life. There are just some whose prayers are answered and some who aren't because some pray without faith. And when you pray without faith, look at verse 8. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. And when we're talking unstable, we're not talking some of the time, we're talking all the time in all of the ways. And if you're not asking, if you're not walking in faith for God to walk you through, essentially you keep doing this one step in and one step out with God. It's hokey pokey, or maybe it's a little bit of what's that Wisconsin chicken dance? Yeah. We're doing a chicken dance. See, it's one of those things we remembered when we first moved back up here. It's like, oh yeah, Missouri, they don't teach our kids that in elementary school. You got to learn that. And yet, if we're double-minded, guess what? We're playing a chicken dance with God. One step in, one step out. You'll always be off balance and never in stride with what God wants to do in your life. And that is what James is going to shoot straight with us. He just does not hold back. And if you're in a trial, if you're going to want to persevere, then you've got to have faith. And it's got to be a strong faith that's certain, a faith that trusts God to know that he gives and that he will be with you if we give it all that we have. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and you must love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your soul, all your strength. See, there's a dexterity that starts to show in trials that when you can get to this point, because it's real easy in a trial to go victim, and guess what? Then you're stuck. And when you start to go, no, I'm not a victim, I'm a survivor, I know a God that's going to see me through this, whether it's a health trial, whether it's a relational trial, whether it's stuff at work, financial miracles that you may need, just know that when you lean into God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and you know that God is not, will not delay when we pray, that when we ask, he hears, he'll respond, he will move. So when we need to ask God for wisdom, we need to ask for it. So two important parts to note on the, having a believing heart. Notice this. Ask God for both wisdom in the trial and deliverance from the trial. Pray for both. Because you know what's amazing? God will do one of the two without a doubt. Here's the amazing certainty that we can have, because God's strength will either be with you as you go through. His hand will be with you as you go through the trial, or you know what? His hand will rip you out. He'll do one of the two things, guaranteed. But you need to ask for both, believe for both. God, I'm praying for your direction. And guess what? Some moments, out of his sovereignty, he'll deliver us. Other points, if it's his will that we go through this valley, guess what? We have a God that will go with us, just like Psalm 23. Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because I have a God, a good shepherd, who will go with me all the way. Look at verse 9 and get into our last key. The last key to surviving trials. Well, in fact, that last, I only did two notes. Go back. Sorry, Lisa. Fake out. Go back one slide. And if you're here, and this is a key. I can't move on without this. If when it comes to asking God for wisdom, for his leading in a trial, if you're not going to listen, then don't bother asking. If you're not going to take the time, you can ask, seek, knock, but then if you're not willing to listen, basically you're blowing hot air. And you could pretty much know God won't answer your prayers, but he doesn't go deaf. He still listens. But it's like, hello. The spoon, the airplane. But our lips are clenched. Ask in faith. Fifth, humble spirit. Verse 9. In fact, James chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. We're going to jump forward because one of the amazing part was how important is a humble spirit to get through a trial. We learn from James later on, and we're going to get to this in the series some point, maybe later this year. Look at James chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, God loves those who are humbled. Who are humbled to know in their best efforts, there is nothing that they could ever do. It's how we approach even in salvation, and we never leave that part of the altar. God, help me to have a humble heart. To be the follower, to be the believer that doesn't try to do things in my own power, in my own hands, but God, may it be an open hand that your power and your glory can be reflected in our life. And so many points when we're in a trial, we will try to do things on our own. Look at it, verse 9. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and let the rich in his humiliation because like a flower, the grass will pass away. So what's he saying here? He's contrasting both the rich and the poor. Both, here's the interesting part. Both of them are not getting, seeing what they were expecting God to do. The lowly, and remember, Remember the audience that James is speaking to at this moment. He is talking to the dispersed church. You have Jewish believers who have found Jesus, and because of their new walk, and then you have Gentile believers also coming to Christ. The church is exploding. The Holy Spirit is at work, radically changing lives, empowering them, baptizing them in this new life with the power of his presence. Amazing things are occurring. And James is trying to remind them then as they go through trials, look, it's not the lowly brother boasting in his exaltation. In other words, it's not in your lack. It's not in the lack that you have. And even as the rich one, you're going to discover you can have it all and still be at the same point of frustration of, God, I'm in this trial and I have everything and I'm still stuck. That's what James is saying. And James is trying to remind us that all of those things, whether you have lack or you have plentiful, you need to know everything about this world will pass away. Your focus needs to be what's on eternal, your eternal reward. James is bringing all of us back is to what is in heaven is our eternal reward. And he says, boast in your exaltation. Boast in what you're waiting for in heaven. Boast in what you can have in your relationship with Jesus Christ, not in your own word, not in your own striving, but what God has accomplished, what our Savior accomplished on the cross. As you walk in faith, as you trust him, as you stay close to the Good Shepherd, he is storing up for you treasures and riches in heaven that will far outweigh anything you lack or anything you have on this world, on this side. And it is better than what we'd ever ask, think, or imagine. James is making sure that we, regardless of where we feel we're at in our life, just know it's not one having it better than the other, but all of us in our trials, we have a God who is displaying a relationship with us, and that really the evidence of a true faith in Christ is people that have discovered that they have a relationship with their Heavenly Father and that heaven is an eternal reward. Look at Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. See, we are his children. We are his heirs. Now that is a reward. That is a reward that'll get us through the trials, is that we approach a God that does not see us as an inconvenience. He sees us as children, his children, who delights to do good, who wants to walk with you. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and if your life is hidden with Christ in God, see, in Christ, you're not poor. You're blessed. In Christ, you have a spiritual blessing that far transcends any physical blessing, any other blessing we could have physically on this side of the earth. There is nothing that pales to what we have in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And James continues to remind us, look at verse 11, for the sun rises with its scorching heat, and it withers the grass, its flower falls, its beauty perishes. So also the rich man will fade away in the midst of his pursuits. See, James is bringing up memories for the audience at this point to a season we're about to go into here. When James is writing this, he's talking about the flowers that start to bloom. In Israel, it would actually be February. And then as the heat of summer starts to hit there, it would be about May. So definitely not like Wisconsin and Michigan, right? But guess what? Within the next month, we're going to have some of those grass flowers come up, and they're beautiful, aren't they? When you see the wildflowers, like Pastor Stacy's always like, especially if it's daffodils, right? It's like if we go by and we see some daffodils down in the ditch, and we're driving on the highway, she'll be like, you know, if you loved me. And so we're entering that time of the year where you see the beautiful flowers, but guess what? What happens is the heat of the summer does come, is those flowers wither and pass away. The hard part about trials is that it is the emotional immediate urgency. the emotions kick in. And it's just hard to, some points, downshift. And James is trying to help us to be able to be reminded that, you know what, this season will pass. You need to know. Even in the beauty of what you think that you would hope your plan that you might have had before that trial, or even in the midst of the trial, somehow God was going to, you're trying to figure out how God would get you out. You're trying to figure out for God. You're trying to engineer it. Oh, I know how this story should end. It's not like watching a Hallmark movie with my wife, who already knows hours into it, minutes into it, how it's going to end. Here's the great thing. We can sit there trying to do it and already know, and it's already figured out. You know what? The great thing is we have a God who far outpasses the things that will just pass away. And he wants us to be anchored into things that, into him, that are just fleeting, passing pleasures that will actually just die in the moment. He wants you to be anchored. And see, humbling yourself before the Lord will lift you up to go beyond the temporary moment that you're going through. Even in the long journey, he will give you strength to get through it. If he hasn't delivered you from it, he will be with you. But that humble spirit allows us to depend on him. And what will that get us? Look at our last verse, verse 12. It says this: blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised for those who love him. Blessed. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast. It's the same blessed word that Jesus used in the Beatitudes when he began to say, blessed is the man blessed is the ones that are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. It's the same blessed that James is bringing back here, saying, blessed is the man if you remain steadfast under trial. Because when you have stood the test, guess what? You'll receive a crown of life that far surpasses anything that you would ever ask, think, or imagine. See, perseverance brings God's approval, and his approval brings the crown of life. What does that look like? Look at 2 Timothy 4:8. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is just not for me, but it's for all who are eagerly look forward to his appearing. So here's the bottom line, and it's back to the conclusion to where we started, is to overcome trials, to look at them, to look at trials as joyful, to consider it pure joy, to be able to persevere, to trust him, to believe in him, to ask God for wisdom, all of it, to know that God is working for his good, to pass the test of faith. What it requires us to do is submitting to him and embracing him, that this Lord, our God, is committed to go the distance with us. Don't grow weary in doing good. Keep on doing, keep on sowing, because in due time you're going to receive a harvest if you don't give up. If you're going through a trial, know that your God is with you all the way. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. God, I pray this morning that as we even look at this, the fact we're going through trials in so many ways, it's a test. It's a test if we have a saving faith. It's a test, God, do we have a believing faith in you? That we trust you as our real heavenly Father. So God, I pray today that you will help us to be clear-minded to where we stand with you. God, may we be clear-headed in what are we trusting in to get through. It's not the lack or the abundance of what we have, but God, it's you. It's your wisdom, not our ingenuity. It's you. Reveal it to us today. God, if there is a counterfeit that is we're holding on to in any way, God, expose it to us today so that we can trust in only you and the eternal reward that you have promised that you will give us so that we can run the distance and run the race to see you. With every head bowed today, where are you at in your faith? Are you passing the test of faith? Are you passing the test of trials? Or are the trials blowing you out of the water? Are you floundering? Are you double-minded? See, some of you here this morning want to call on God, and maybe even at times you have, but you know what? Your mouth has not been open. God's not going to answer because you don't have a living, saving faith to trust in the one who loves you. This morning, you need to give your heart to the Lord today. And if you're here today and you know you need a living faith, a saving faith, would you just look my way because I want to pray with you today if that's you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want everybody, for those, and it really, if you know, it's beyond looking at me. If you can look at your heart to the Lord and you know you need to let him lead the way, would you say this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for not giving up on me, for going the distance with me. Forgive me of my sin, trying to do things my own way. I give it all to you. Be my leader, direct my life, be my savior, my only way to heaven. I believe in what Jesus did on the cross for me, dying for my sin, raising again, and ascending to you. Do that new life, that resurrected life in me. Help me do that new work. In Jesus' name, amen.